Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Hockey, yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And it is a one-timer, and it's Zolgad and Declan Goff. And Dex, we debated doing a show after this game, thinking, oh, if the Wild gets drubbed or something, you know what, people might not care.
That's right.
Ultimately, though, it was the right call to do this show because, let's just start, Kirill Kaprizov, the debut was, this is why I told you, I believe it was when we did Judd's Hockey Show 2 weeks ago, and I actually wrote a column about this for ScoreNorth.com in the last couple of days, and I did not mean this in a negative light, but this is why I said, put the pressure on this kid, because he's not a kid. He's 23. He is as far as the sport of hockey goes, a longtime professional in the KHL. He has played in international competitions previously quite a bit and been outstanding. And the guy that we saw who had what, two assists in regulation tonight and then ultimately scored the game winning goal in overtime to give the Wild a 4-3 victory over the Kings tonight at Staples Center. Ultimately, this guy is going to be electric. He's fantastic. I don't know if he's going to play like he did tonight in every game, but again, he's 23. He has played in the second best league in the world for quite a while, and he is going to be special. And we saw step one tonight. This is not an 18-year-old kid who comes out of juniors and you're like, dial the pressure down because it might take some time. This guy proved to us in the game against the Kings this evening that he is fully prepared to take on what he's going to have to take on, which is much of the responsibility probably for the success of this team, at least from the offensive end.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
my thought. Go ahead.
Judd, he's for real. I mean, I didn't think he had such a dominant start just in the in his first game. But you saw it from the second he touched the ice tonight that he was going to be a difference maker and be everything he needed. And for that, I give a cheers to my man, Kirill Kaprizov. A little Corona Hard Seltzer, a proud sponsor of Score North programming. So
we appreciate them.
I thought he was awesome. I thought he was absolutely, as advertised, I think you bring up a good point. Can we expect that type of performance every night? Maybe not. But you saw first and foremost that Kirill Kaprizov and Kevin Fiala, they're not flukes. They are legit. They might have to drag this team, but their talent is for real. And we saw it with Kirill Kaprizov getting the overtime winner and a couple assists tonight. But you saw it from Fiala, too. There's problems down the middle. The team can't win a faceoff. I liked what I saw from Cam Talbot, but the main takeaway is that Kirill Kaprizov is legit.
Yes, and so let's talk about what exactly impressed us, too, about him. Because the goal was a nice steal, a nice play. He actually tried to, I think, go forehand, backhand, or vice versa on the move on Kings goaltender Jonathan Quick, and he lost control. And the puck still dribbled into the net. So that was a bit fluky, but still a nice play by Kaprizov. But what impressed me in the first three periods of this game, Dex, was he, to me, is a first-line wing who, because of the Wild's deficiencies at center, is playing de facto center in some ways. By that, I mean this. Look at the plays he set up. His two assists were beautiful on the goals. And if you go back and look, his hands are great.
Yep.
his ability to sense where guys are, his hockey sense is great. This goes back to why I think it's okay to apply pressure. And I think he probably likes that because he has the ability to make plays. But I was actually more impressed by what he did from a facilitating standpoint to set those two goals up than the goal he scored, because that is going to be the absolute key. You are talking about a guy, I think, with elite hockey sense here and who can make plays. This team, which is now what, going into its 20th season of hockey, has had how many guys who even like approach this? Gabrick did skill-wise.
Yeah.
Fiala's got great skills, but he doesn't have these skills. Like this guy should be, but by the time the 56 games are done, this guy should be one of the top all-around, not grinders or workers, but I'm just saying God-given ability to play this sport. He's got that. And that goes back to the KHL. That goes back to Olympics, World Juniors. So I guess tonight, what he did tonight from his standpoint didn't shock me. What was so impressive, though, is it's the National Hockey League. It's game one. And there was zero shifts that I saw that Kirill Kaprizov looked overwhelmed or you thought, man, you know what? That's a lot. In fact, assist one, I loved. I think it was on the Brodin assist. Because on that play, Dex,
yeah,
he went into the slot, basically. A Carter hit him, not hard, but there was the threat of him being hit. And that's a big boy play. Like, that's a play if you're 19, you're like, I don't need this. But that, to me, was a big boy play. Because that's a guy with elite talent, elite skill, who will take a hit to make a play. And there are flat out, I think, a lot of skilled guys who probably would shy away. I'm not saying that they wouldn't try to make that play, but I don't think they would see that play through like Kaprizov did to get to that Brodin goal.
I mean, Judd, the first goal of the game goes to Jonas Brodin, and that's fine. I mean, no one had Jonas Brodin scoring the first goal. The main takeaway wasn't that Brodin scored the first goal. It was the play that set up that drew the traffic to allow the Brodin. Like, good for Brodin for getting a goal, but that was all Kirill Kaprizov drawing the traffic and going into the middle of the area where he wants to be. You saw the instincts. You saw the howitzer of a shot. As I told you, without ever setting eyes on him or my own eyes on him in person, I wanted to know if the kid can skate. The kid can definitely skate. Mm-hmm. I mean, he literally checks all the boxes that you want. And, you know, yes, is he a more God-given talented hockey player and that is in a market that has been so starved for those guys since the hockey returned here? He's up there with Gabrick. And I think with Fiala, is he more talented than Fiala? He might be. But I think what Fiala has, too, that maybe gets a little unsung about is he's a confident player. The swagger in Kevin Fiala when he was feeling it before the pause, it was palpable. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, that's a room that doesn't have a lot of that swagger and you don't feel that palpitation that comes off of him. So yes, I maybe like somewhat turning this into also a Kevin Fiala appreciation game because he also had a phenomenal game that shouldn't go unsung. But Kirill Kaprizov showed everything the Wild have been waiting for since they drafted him 5 years ago. I mean, was it hard dealing with the dang KHL for the last few years trying to get him over here? Yeah, it was difficult, but man, he's worth the wait. It is everything you thought he would be.
Oh, yeah, and if he comes here 5 years back, Dex, he's not this player. I mean, that's the thing now is you are basically getting now, if not a final product, you're getting a player who is developed now, who's 23, who's grown up. But yeah, so let's get, okay, so Kaprizov, Fiala, definitely the good. Let's get into the dicey here.
Okay.
Because this is an impressive comeback. I think Cam Talbot played well. I don't think he was fantastic, but he made, I think, three or four quality saves in the third period that ended up being absolutely key. I did not feel, as I tweeted and got pushback for, mm-hmm. in the first period, I did not think, you know what? We're going to get a shot from the corner that's going to bounce off a breezer yeah. and it's going to bounce off Cam's head and go in the old traditional Dubnyk goal. But the elephant in the room, and this is going to be the case until it's addressed, and I don't know that it can be addressed during the course of the 56-game season that the Wild is embarking on and started on tonight, to me, is this, the center. To your point, in fact, Panda gave this stat. I've got the stat here. Hold on a second. Give me 2 seconds, and because I thought it was intriguing. There was a point early in the third period where I believe it was the Kings had won something like 21 of the past 30 faceoffs. I mean, it was
a domination.
But I don't, and you know what we saw in the third period as well? We saw Victor Rask, God bless him, he scored, promoted to the first line, and
Bukestad
was bumped down to the fourth line. But the point being is this is going to be, I don't think this is an addressable problem. Like, I don't think that there's a fix here. And you can play, if you want to reward Rask, which Dean did clearly, that's fine. But he's going to be Rask, and he's going to struggle again here fairly soon. He just always does. But that's the downside here. Because, you know, you've got Kaprizov, you've got Fiala, you've got a blue line core that I think is pretty damn good. But that being said, I don't see a fix here until it's addressed via a trade or a player comes up, which is not going to happen for quite some time at that spot. And I think it's just going to be have to be a spot that you struggle through basically for at least the short term here in 2021.
Yeah, just in the offense. I mean, you saw what Kevin Fiala and Kaprizov were able to bring tonight, and that's why I said off the bat, if this team maybe gets in the playoffs, they're physically going to drag them in there. And when you saw them on the power play together, I believe it was in the second period. I mean, for God's sakes, they had 6 chances, and it would have been nice for them to convert, but I actually liked what they did for the most part. I mean, yes, it would be nice for them to convert, but I liked what they had, what, 3 posts hit. They put traffic in front, a lot of high danger chances created.
Yep.
You saw when they were on the ice during that power play, and that's why I hinted at, that's why I asked you a couple weeks ago in the preseason, there might come a time where both those guys have to be on the same line because they're that dynamic, and this team is so starved for dynamic offensive players. To your point, though, of possibly bringing up a center, and in this case, it was Victor Rask, who, yeah, had a very solid first period, gets rewarded with a goal in the third, gets rewarded going on the top line. It's nice to reward good things, but at the same time, you know that's not going to be a recipe for success. I thought mostly tonight, Judd, Johansson, the guy who I think is going to have a very tough year, did not have a very good game tonight. You saw Zach Parise after taking faceoffs on every power play, which did not go well for him. I know he was a big minus tonight. Yes, I don't want to get too worked up over losing faceoffs, but when you're losing at this dramatic rate and when you need a key win in an offensive zone, you got to have someone that can win that draw. And as much as we ragged on Koivu, and as much as Koivu has passed his prime, and I'm glad that era is done, that is why he played the power play, because you knew he could win a draw. I'm more concerned, and I'm more satisfied with having two dynamic players like Kaprizov and Fiala. I want to make that very clear on your power play like that. But there might come a time where, especially if it's late and you need a goal, that you're going to see both those guys in the ice because they are that skilled.
All right, simple question. And I'm dead serious.
Okay.
Can Kaprizov win a faceoff?
I don't know. And I'm willing to try it after
because
today.
I try it. And look, again, the thing to keep in mind is don't be concerned about giving him too much. He can handle it. Like, it's not going to be a meltdown. Oh, my God, now you're asking me to win a faceoff. I can't do that. So Parisi struggled there. I like the idea.
I don't hate that.
That first power play, I like the idea.
Yes.
I would far prefer to experiment here and see if a winger can win a faceoff as opposed to punting and being like, well, Rask is going to be our center on the power play. No, I don't want that. Okay. Bukestad, same thing. So if you can go, Kaprizov takes the faceoffs, which is fine. Parisi, who can certainly score power play goals and is effective because the one thing is until his last day playing in this league, he's going to go park in front, right? Mm-hmm. Fiala has to be there. I really like, and look, I understand this. Dumba defensively has his problems, right? But the power play idea of Dumba and Spurgeon, I really like that. So I guess my question is, since I probably wouldn't want to give Fiala this assignment, Can Kaprizov go in the dot and win one? Because all I want here, Dex, is possession.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't have to be this great, clean win. You don't have Correct. To be an artiste there, right?
Yes.
I just want you, I want you to give me a chance to get possession.
Before I get to your point, our guy Michael on the screen on our Facebook page watching this comments, trade for Dubois, who may have been listening to Mackie and Judd earlier this afternoon, Apple, Spotify, ScoreNorth.com, and on YouTube. Yes. Pierre-Luc Dubois, who is a player in Columbus that I threw out a reckless trade idea to you that we might even get into in another Judd's Hockey Show podcast. He could be someone you may be trade for, but just so you know, as I pull up his face-off stats, and this, again, I don't really put a whole lot of big stock in this, why you wouldn't trade for a guy. Right. He is a center, and he has only won 43% of his draws in his career, so he cannot win a draw either. That but being said, I love the idea.
I can put him in the middle of that line.
We will kick this around, find our brief conversation on a Mackie and Judd today. But yes, I love the idea of Zach Parise playing the power play. You can't take off the guy who is your most prolific power play scorer. And Zach's going to do all the little things in front of the net that can get you a big power play goal when you need it. But I do think that when you have two guys, especially on the wing, and Kaprizov and Fiala, who are great and are very talented, we saw that. You have someone like Dumba and Spurgeon who can both man that point and have a shot. I mean, poor Matt Dumba. It's another. He had another post tonight. He had a ton of shots on
Spurgeon, Fiala, Dumba had posts.
Yeah,
tonight. So yeah, but Matt, poor Matt. But Matt defensively, you gotta bear down a bit here, okay?
Yeah, he had an up and down
Kings
game.
Goal was yeah. not a good goal. That nope. first gig, and yes, down. Yes. Ideally, Cam Talbot controls the rebound on that goal, and it does not get scored. By the Kings, but that being said, it's a face-off. There's, if I'm not mistaken, 4 seconds left in the period. Dex, Bonino loses the draw. Carter drives the net, and Dumba, who also had iced the puck. It was a bad ice. It was a bad icing. You take the puck and move. He iced the puck. Carter drives the net and Dumba just sort of lost him or ignored him or something like that. That's not a good, you know, that this year is going to be so short and so quick. And because all your games are going to be in your division, points are going to be at such a premium. You can't afford that. So offensively, I think that Matt did some nice things, but you've got to execute your assignments there. And he did not. So that did disturb me. And again, too, late in the period, there is no reason, I don't think, to ice that puck. Like, take the puck and move, that's fine. But he just sort of lazily, I thought, dumped it off the boards. And that Declan Goff, is a very old-school wild play that I want this team now to get past. Here's my goal for 2021. And Kaprizov is going to bring us a long way towards it. So it's doable. I want to like this team. I want to, back. Kaprizov is great. Marcus scored the game tying goal. I love how hard he works. He made the hit on Mata behind the net. I want to like this team. And I want to trust that this team is not going to continually find itself down by two goals, right? And I want this team to play hard. Because this team should play hard. It's certainly not overall talented enough not to play hard. And I can only like this team if players do the things that they're supposed to do and don't get beat unnecessarily. Does that sound fair?
It does. Two things off your point. Number one, going back to where you started with Dumba, I also think Ryan Suter had a pretty damn bad game today. You saw he was tired. You saw he did not have his legs underneath him. Dumba had an up and down game, and what the thing is with today, what you saw on the opening night of Matt Dumba is Matt Dumba in a nutshell. I mean, there's defensive lapses. There's great moments that where he's in the offensive zone, and you can tell he's going to make a humongous difference when he's on the ice. And you have to take those licks and wounds, basically, and understand that what he's gonna bring that's positive is going to offset most likely the negatives that he does. He's got deficiencies out on the defensive side, but mostly he's a player that's dynamic and that are a rarity in the NHL. On your point of liking this team and wanting to like this team, you saw them get outshot. You saw them lose a bunch of faceoffs. But I mean, look at how the Kings scored their goals. First off, they made old Jeff Carter, for God's sakes, look like the Jeff Carter from 8 years ago when they were winning Stanley Cups. Mm-hmm. That's unacceptable. All the goals that the Kings scored tonight just seemed like they were coming from sloppy situations. There was an ugly one behind the net. So you saw numerous moments where the Wild hit three or four posts, created enough high danger chances that even when they were getting outshot and getting outpossessed in the faceoff circle, you knew that in general, you still felt pretty good. When they went down two goals, I still thought, well, they have every right to still win this game. And they had a great comeback there in the third period. And then obviously Kirill Kaprizov is the hero is the hero for the first time. I have a question to ask you here before we wrap, but I really think that even if they can't play this formula all the time, but if they're going to outchance and outpossess teams, they'll eventually even that out a little bit.
Will they? Is that your point?
Oh no, I'm sorry. Well, I'll get to another question here in a bit, but I do think if they're getting outshot and outpossessed like they were today, I mean, the Corsi and Fenwick were completely on lopsided towards the Kings,
right,
and they lost all these faceoff circles. You still saw enough high danger situations from Kaprizov and Fiala that made it dynamic.
Yes, and this and by the way, this is the valuable thing about being in the West Division.
Yes,
because you're going to get opportunities like this against, let's go through the teams, the Kings, the Ducks, the Sharks, Coyotes probably, right?
Yep.
Like if you were playing a good team tonight, I think you're dead. I think you're done. I think the Kaprizov's still great, but I think you're dead.
Go down like that to the Avs or Knights, you're dead.
Yeah. So, but the point is that there's three, in my opinion, good teams in the Avs, the Blues and the Golden Knights in the West. And then there's you, and then there's the Coyotes, who probably are as close to you as possible, right? And then there's three teams in California that I think are all basically might be improving, but they're not improving right now immediately. By the way, I got a stat of the night for you.
Hit me.
In fact, this should be sponsored because this is a great stat of the night. And Declan Goff, this might be the first time that this has happened in a long time.
Okay.
It might be a first in the career, at least as a member of the Minnesota Wild, for Ryan Suter. Time on ice tonight, okay?
Oh, all right.
The captain, the diminutive one, number 46, Jared Spurgeon, 28:09.
Woo!
The veteran, Ryan Suter, 23:10. Brodin, 25:25. When do you think the last time among Wild defensemen was that the time on ice for Suits trailed not one but two defensive teammates? I bet that has never happened since he signed here.
No, I don't think it has either. I mean, I really thought, Judd, he had a pretty bad game, man. There was that moment in the power play where he's on the short side. He has all night and day. He doesn't pull the trigger. The power play ends. They go down to the defensive side. His mistake almost allows a goal on the second Kings goal. I forget if Jeff Carter scored the second one again, but he gives Carter the entire lane. It's 2-on-2. He has Brodin on his help side, and he's still giving the player between him 15 feet. So no wonder why the Kings players score. I thought he had a really rough game, but the ice time thing does come up to me as something that's very interesting because I haven't seen that happen in a long time.
All right, two more things before we go, okay? One, I believe that the Wild and Kings are going to play a total of 8 times throughout the course of the season, and my guess is it's going to be 4 at the X and 4 at Staples. And I know that Staples has the Lakers and the Clippers, too. That ice was unacceptable tonight.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
The first period into the second was unacceptable because the puck was bouncing. The puck looked like it was in quicksand. The players looked like they were trying to skate through quicksand. So first point is it's my opinion that the ice impacted that game and slowed it down, not the teams, for two periods. And I thought that the first two periods were lacking. And yes, it's probably, I'm not trying to absolve the teams completely, but I am saying that ice was awful. The second thing is this. I have adjusted to fake crowd noise pretty well in baseball. I've adjusted to it, I think, very well in football. In fact, in football, what they do on like Fox and NBC and CBS is they play with the crowd noise that you hear at home, But the crowd noise that you hear at the stadium is much less, and it's white noise, but it's fine. Okay. I've not attended a Wolves game yet to hear the crowd noise, but to me on Fox Sports North on the telecast, it's actually well done. It's fine. I've watched a ton of games now in the last two nights from the National Hockey League. And I will say this, lose the crowd noise. It's bizarre. Because like tonight on that Kings game, there were times where the Kings would be skating with the puck and the crowd would erupt or something.
Yeah, it was really weird.
It's like, it's weird. And look, we're all adults. It's cable or satellite or streaming. I would far rather hear the F-bombs. And in hockey, you would hear them, which would be great. But I don't think that there's a good way to adjust crowd noise for hockey because of how the game flows. And like Jonathan Quick at one point made a save or something. And like the crowd, they turned it up to goal scoring crowd noise. Just lose the crowd noise.
It was really,
it doesn't
weird.
Work. It doesn't work.
I don't mind. No, I mean, look, I,
for hockey, for the rest
maybe.
Of the
I still think it'd be really weird. I mean, it's going to be weird going to a game where it would be completely quiet. So I know that's going to be a little strange.
No, I think what you're hearing in hockey is the crowd noise from the arena.
Yeah.
So like the X will use crowd noise.
Right.
But my point is, I don't think it works.
Okay.
Because like you're trying to in baseball or football, that there's ebb and flow that's mm-hmm. very apparent.
Yep.
In hockey, there's not besides goals because you know it's teams going back and forth, and there's just no good way to do it. And it sounded really weird. And then at times tonight, it would go high, so it would drown out Carter and LaPanta, and then they turn it too low, and it's just like just lose it. You know, it's not that like as a sports fan. I'd be much less offended if they just said, you know what, for this sport, it does not work. But anyway, the most important thing is fix that ice.
Right.
That impacted the game negatively.
It was bad. The first 20 minutes was absolutely horrible. I guess last question for you as we wrap up here.
Yes, sir.
Can you remember a more dynamic Minnesota sports debut in their first game than what Kaprizov did? And it doesn't necessarily have to be a rookie or just a free agent or someone who came in and just made an immediate impact. I mean, Judd, that doesn't get better than that with two assists, a game-winning goal in overtime. I'm racking my brain trying to remember just dynamic debuts from recent memory. You know, like Dalvin Cook had a really nice NFL debut, but it wasn't, you know, game-changing. I don't remember Cat necessarily having Moss, a big game that
Moss had a really good game.
Moss did okay
against Tampa Bay in 98. Moss came in and had and caught a touchdown. I think it was from Brad Johnson. I'm seeing what okay, here's one. It's statistically great. It's not as dynamic probably as what Kaprizov did tonight. May 8th, 1984, Anaheim, California. Puckett four singles in his first
I like
league
that.
Appearance.
I like
that's
that.
That's really good. And mm-hmm. and of course, that's, you know, basically the start of what became a great career. But I mean, this was great. This is fantastic. But what I loved is I love how dynamic this guy is with the puck. And I love the fact that nothing he did tonight to me felt fluky.
Right.
Like it wasn't like, oh man, that's a great start, but he ain't doing that again, right?
Totally.
And he never, I mean, every time he got the puck decks, it looked like he was comfortable, in control. And here's the weird thing. It never looked to me, if what I'm about to say makes sense, it never looked to me like he was moving too fast, like to hurry himself.
Right.
Fiala does that at times.
He does.
He's great, but there's times where he gets to be anxious.
Yep.
And I'm like, just calm down. Just, you know, slow down because you're so damn good. There was never a time that Kaprizov had control of the puck on his stick tonight where I thought to myself, oh, he's going too fast. It was like always in control.
Yeah, you can see it. I tweeted it out too that it's just a damn shame that we can't get fans in here. Then maybe there is at towards the end of this at one day, but you can just see on the television how much of a difference the guy can make. Hockey's one of those sports where it's very fun in person. I love seeing hockey in person. I love being up high and perched where they are.
And this kid's shifts are going to be so much fun to watch.
You can just
behind
see
the puck, it'll be fun to watch them
slow down so easily. And with someone like that, who's basically a surgeon on the ice on such a young age, it was worth the wait.
23 is an old man in hockey.
That's right. But that's okay. Do you remember Dino Cicerelli's debut? We're getting some comments to say Dino, North Stars possibly had a pretty solid debut there. Yeah. In terms of other Wild players, I can't really remember someone coming in that made,
I shouldn't laugh. That's, I'm being a jerk, but
Darby scored the Wild's first goal.
Yeah. But we're talking about like dynamic debut first games, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like dynamic first games. Hold on a second here. I'm going to look at Dino. So he came up in the year that the North Stars went to the Stanley Cup Finals, which was the 80-81 season. Yeah, but in his first game, so he got called up, and his first game was on December the 13th, 1980, and he had no points. Now, his debut in that first year, as far as the whole thing and the playoffs, was fantastic. But we're talking like your first game,
right?
Like your first time playing for, who had, I think, if you go back and check out the box score from, it was probably would have been October of 89, who had a great debut, but the career here ended up being disappointing, was Herschel Walker as a Viking. Lost his shoe. I want to say the Vikings were playing the Packers at the Metrodome, and I want to say he lost his shoe on the opening kickoff return, but he like returned it 50 yards or something. But again, if we're just talking about a player playing their first game in a jersey or sweater in this town, Puckett came to mind for me immediately, but this is definitely up there.
Honestly, Sam Bradford,
that's a good one.
Damn good first game. First game of
the second game, right?
Second game of the season, Packer but game. First at US Bank Stadium.
That's right.
Against the Packers on Sunday Night Football. That might be one of his best games of his career. Not just his Vikings debut.
Can you believe this team might finally have the player though?
I know.
Like, think about it. We're 20 years in.
I know. Well, what's frightening is a team that's been so starved for dynamic players and superstars this caliber is if you have like Kaprizov's obviously your crown jewel here. Sure. Kevin Fiala is, next in line on the throne, if you will.
Yep.
Someone like Matthew Boldy, who could be here in a year. Marco Rossi is still with the team. He probably still needs a year or two of seasoning. But now all of a sudden, there's a plethora of guys that can change the complete dynamic of this franchise. And basically, during the Parise and Suter era, it was nice to see guys like Granlund and Nino have good years. And there was moments where it looked like they were going to be the supplemental pieces to build around for long-term playoff success. Didn't happen, but you can just see immediately none of those guys.
No,
Granlund, Nino, Coyle.
I was going to say that. I agree. Completely.
None of them.
Granlund was the only one that came close, and that was more when he was playing in Olympic games than here. The thing about Kaprizov that separates him from those guys is this too. Aside from Granlund's goal against the Avs in the playoffs where he scored at the X, I think he was diving. It's a great goal. But aside from a play like that, Granlund never consistently showed the skills that Kaprizov showed in one game tonight. And nobody else came close. I mean, Coyle, Nino, none of those guys came close. Like, we're talking about a skill set that you're looking at and saying, oh, my God. And there were times tonight when Kaprizov had the puck in the offensive zone and essentially sensed teammates being there and made what amounted to, I thought, no-look passes, where I thought to myself, 97? He looks like Connor bleeping McDavid. Yeah. I really did. And I mean, I'm telling you, I never saw, at least in a Wild sweater, I never saw Granlund make a play where I thought, that's Connor McDavid or Gretzky-like. Never. No. I never came close.
This is exciting.
I'm not going to downplay this too. Like, I think you should be. I think you saw the start of something special. I really do.
I agree. I it was so much fun watching them, and even when they were getting outshot, losing those faceoffs, there was still with those two on the ice. And when they were on the ice, and Kaprizov and Fiala, Kaprizov especially, you could tell that this is where the Wild are going to be headed. It's where they're going, and I'm very excited to watch more of this.
Center, Billy Guerin? Who's your center? Your centers?
Is it Dubois? Is it Dubois? Would you make the trade? Pick up the phone?
Yeah, I think I would.
I think I would.
I said I would this morning. I'm more in now.
By the way, the asking price of what Judd and I said for that would be Matt Dumba and a first round pick in this year's draft, since the Wild are definitely going to own two.
So I saw a piece on sportsnet.ca today that was five potential landing places for Pierre-Luc Dubois, Dex. The Wild was not included,
okay,
but of the five teams, the trades were all a lot. It would probably be Dumba, a first round pick, and maybe a bit more.
Sure.
But if he's the real deal, which I think he might be, as far as his ability to plug in top six and ultimately top line center, you got to do it. But short term, I would give serious thought to, on the power play, having Kaprizov at least try to take faceoffs, because that skill set and those hands, you know, I mean, Zach, God bless him, Zach works his butt off. Zach does work hard.
Yep.
But he doesn't have, he's got good hands to score goals in front, but he doesn't have special hands. Kaprizov might have the magic hands.
Yeah,
I'm just throwing it out there
because
I like this idea. What I don't want Dino to do is be like, oh, let's give Rask a chance or let's give Bukestad. No, you've got the right idea by taking those five and playing them. Suter not being on the first power play, good thing. The three forwards, good thing. You just have to find a guy who can at least sort of give you a chance to get possession. So, you know, 10 to 15 seconds aren't going off the power play time while you chase the puck down to your own end. That's all.
It kind of seemed like Bukestad was unnoticeable in a bad way tonight.
Johansson, too.
Johansson was noticeable and also in a bad way.
Yeah.
I was not impressed with what I saw.
I'm telling you right now, he's going to get a shot at center within, I think, the first 2 weeks of the season.
Well, I mean, for God's sake, Victor Rask was out there on the first line in the second to last, third to last shift before that power play.
I think Boods went and threw up probably.
What the hell? I think a lot of people.
Poor Boods probably saw Kaprizov tonight. He's like, you should have given me a chance. Yeah. I could have been great here.
Oh, geez, woe is me. What are we going to do?
I love Boots. All right, we are done. Mackie and Judd, happy hour. One-timer edition of Judd's Hockey Show. We'll be back tomorrow, of course, podcast with Mackie and Judd, Dex producing as always, and also Purple Daily. And I have a feeling to start off the Mackie and Judd experience tomorrow, Declan, we'll probably be talking about this Wild club, and more importantly, pulling Phil into Kirill Kaprizov mania, because it's going to start now. Justin Jefferson, move aside just a little bit,
not the whole way aside, but just a little bit.
So JJ and Kirill can get in the same frame. We will talk to you later. Bye.
And lastly, someone did ask if we were going to be doing these regularly after WoW games. We will do them periodically, I guess, is probably the best way I can think of.
You know, I'm not doing anything these days. So if you want to do them more, I'm up for it. Hey, look, if we've got a superstar on our hands, I'm all in.
Yeah, I am too.
All right.
A couple seltzers in.
Say it, Dex.
All right, pass, shoot, score.
Your dog is more than just your bestie with the cutest face ever. Get to know them on a genetic level with Embark Vet. Developed by veterinarians and PhDs, Embark screens for more than 215 genetic health risks across more than 350 breeds. It's top-notch science for your top-notch pup. Go to EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DNA, that's DNA, to get $60 off an Embark Breed and Health Kit or Purebred Kit with free shipping. That's promo code DNA to save today.